to Scripture, and I'll honor that custom. 2 Samuel tonight, 2 Samuel tonight, chapter number 11. 2 Samuel, chapter number 11. Wasn't that a good story about Ruth this morning? Amen, boy. I preached it and it helped myself, and I like it when it does that. And that I've been thinking about that and thinking about little Ruth. But tonight we're on another thought, and we've just come to worship and be with the Lord. I'm just going to read one verse, verse 11, 2 Samuel, chapter 11, and verse 11. 2 Samuel 11, 11. The Bible says, "And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you tonight, say thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the mercy and grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life. Thank you for directing my heart tonight and speaking to me. Now as we come to you humbly, Lord, we ask for help. We ask for liberty. I ask, God, you forgive us of our sins, Lord. Things that we do that's contrary to this book. I plead the blood, Lord, over me and my wife and my children. Lord, I ask, God, that you to bless my ministry, that I may touch someone, that I may have a message for someone. Lord God, that is my heart's desire, is to help. We ask tonight that you be amongst us. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. And you may be seated. As you know, the story of Israel, who was called out, we would say, through Father Abraham, and how their journey lingered through Egypt and how they got brought to Canaan land through the great journeys of the wilderness. And it was always God's intentions for him to be the king. He wanted to lead his people. He wanted them to have faith and not require sight. And he still requires that of his people today. He wants his people to walk by faith. Amen. But they got their eyes on the other people when they got in Canaan land. And they went up to Samuel and said, "Samuel, we want to be like the other nations, and we want to have a king." So what they done is they got a man that they asked for. Saul, his name means asked for. He stood head and shoulders above everyone else, and they got their eyes on Saul. They got their eyes off the Lord, and they said, "We want him to be king." He was out of the tribe of Benjamin and shouldn't even been rightly a king. The kingly tribe, as you know, is the tribe of Judah. And Saul tried his best to lead the people, but it was not to be so. He committed sins of not trusting the Lord and trusting the people and trusting the works of his hands. So God took the kingdom away from Saul, and he gave it to a little shepherd boy, the eighth son of Jesse, out of the tribe of Judah, whose name you know was David. And David came on the scene, and him and Saul never did get along. There was jealousy between Saul and David. The people would say Saul killed his thousands, but they'd say David killed his 10,000s. Saul actually tried to throw a javelin through David, and David would just escape. But by the providence of God, Saul got killed in battle with his son Jonathan, and they raised David up to be king. I want to tell you that David was always the rightful king, but people got ahead of God and would not wait upon the Lord. So David started ruling. He had to bring back the kingdom from a northern Israel and bring the southern Judah together again and bring them as one nation. And he did so. So he was over a united nations. He won many victories. He won many battles. And you hear in our scriptures, it seems like that he's took some time off. He's took a time of ease. In verse 1 of this chapter, the Bible says that the time that the kings went out to battle, David stayed in Jerusalem. Jerusalem means a place of peace or peace. I'm going to tell you that you may want peace in your church, and I want peace in my church, but sometimes to have peace, that you've got to battle for peace. And David said, I'm just going to sit back at home. And David started sitting back at home, and all of a sudden he found himself up on a rooftop, found his eyes looking at another man's wife, and he committed a great sin by doing this. And he did not know what to do, so he done what everybody does in the flesh. He tried to cover up his sin. You say, I've never done that. Easy now. I'm going to tell you, our souls are redeemed, but this flesh has not been redeemed. I remember my children, I tell them I don't trust them. You shouldn't say that. I don't even trust myself, hallelujah. I'm telling you, this flesh is wicked, wicked. And I'm telling you, we all would try to cover up our sins. And David said, I know what I'll do, is I will call Uriah, this woman's husband, back from battle. And if they go and be one with one another, this will cover up my sin. So he got Uriah the Hittite to come back from battle. And he said, I'm going to tell you, he said, how's the battle going? He gave him a report about the battle. And then he said, go down and be with your wife. But Uriah said, I can't do this. And he slept outside the door there. And David come back and asked him, said, why didn't you go in with your wife? We come to the verse that I'm reading right here. And this is the answer, what he gave David, why he could not go in. He said the ark. He said Israel and Judah abide in tents. And my Lord Joab, I want to preach tonight with your help on these simple little thoughts. Is your heart still in the battle? David's heart, even though he was the king, his heart was out of the battle. He wanted to stay home, but Uriah's heart was in the battle. He said, how can I come home? How can I quit? How can I take a break? How can I rest? My heart is still out there with the men. We have many people coming to church, not as many as I'd like, but they sit on these pews because they're supposed to do it. They're accustomed to do it, but you can sit on these pews and your heart still be out of the battle. You say, why in the world in 2019, when most churches are looking for comedians and puppet shows and looking for this and that and looking for Dr. Doolittle, why in the world do you still want to preach? Because this is how God's given it to me down in my soul. It's still burning in my heart, and my heart is still in the battle. I can't give up. It's a burning down in my soul. I remember before I had a church, I'd preach in the showers. I'd preach out in the woods. I mean, my shower curtain was under great conviction. I had to come out of me. He said, I can't. First of all, he said, the ark. Now this ark, you know, is this gopher wood that has been covered by gold. Inside this ark was three items. It was the budding almond rod of Aaron. It was the plate of manna that was not spoiled and put down in there. But also, it was the law of God, that God himself took his finger and wrote the law of God, and they put it in that ark. And they put it in the tabernacle. There was an outer court of the tabernacle. There was an inner court called the holy place. But then there was this inner court called the holiest of holies. And no one went in there but the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement. And he would take that sacrifice blood, and he would take it in there, and he would dip it on top of that mercy seat which sat on top of that ark. And when God looked down from heaven, he was wanting to see that law so he could say, guilty, guilty, guilty. But looking down from heaven, all he could see was the blood, and it covered up the law. And all he could say was, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. This is what they carried out into battle. But not only with this ark, it would also give the children of Israel direction, because the Shekinah glory cloud would reside on top of that ark. And when it was time to go right, the glory went right. When it's time to go left, the glory went left. So they knew where to go. It gave them direction. It symbolizes the presence of God. Does anybody know anything about the presence of God? I remember several years ago, been about 20 years ago, Brother Billy, they asked me to go up to Alaska. And I was preaching revival and building a church. So I'd build all day and I'd preach all night. And I got up there and I had the jet lag. And I couldn't sleep. And I had me a little hotel room in Ketchikan, Alaska. And I remember I went into that bathroom, Brother Sam. And I said, Lord, there's a bunch of Native Americans up here that don't need to hear from hillbilly, don't need to hear from redneck, don't need my thoughts, don't need to be like me, but oh God, they need to hear from heaven. And I remember I got Brother Rocky in that hotel room. It was so little, my head hit one side, my feet hit the other side, and I got to praying. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I said, oh God, would you help me and bless me? I'm going to tell you, you might not believe this, and it's probably why you don't get blessed, because you don't believe much, but I'm telling you, I felt like that hotel room got to shaking. It felt like that God Almighty come down to that hotel room. He said, I'll be with you. I'll grace you, bless you, and grace you. I'm telling you, he helped me in that hotel room. Finally, you know what I had to say? That's enough. I thought the church is coming. Amen. You ever been in a place like that? The presence of God. How dare I close my Bible? How dare I quieten my preaching? How dare I give up on my stance? How dare I back up when I've already made a line? How dare I back up on my convictions when I've had the presence of God in my life? Amen. Amen. We used to live out here in Etowah many years ago. My youngins was probably 3 and 5. And I hadn't felt from God in days. I couldn't really find any sin in my life, but you know, no great sins. And I just wanted to feel his touch. Amen. My wife went to the grocery store. She said, you want to go with me? I said, no, honey, I need to pray. I'm just burdened down. And she said, would you mind keeping the youngins? I said, I'd be fine. We had this little modular house, and I walked in this back closet. And I remember I got down on my knees. You said, what, boy, you must have said an elegant prayer. All I said was, oh, oh. My youngins ran and called Mama and said, something's wrong with Daddy. She said, what's he doing? Said, he's out staring out the windows and screaming and crying. She said, leave him alone. He's doing just fine. I'm telling you, God's presence entered that little thing. I found myself, I woke up and I was staring, looking outside that window, just screaming and crying. He showed up in my little prayer closet, not because I deserved it, because he loves me and he cares for me. How dare I think about getting off the battlefield when I felt his presence? Woo! You ever felt his presence? I'd been saved about it. I could tell you stories after stories, but I'm not a storyteller. I'd been saved about a year at Western North Carolina camp meeting. Brother Tim Lewis was preaching. I don't know if you remember him. My pastor, Jim Whitted, my very first pastor. He was about 65, 70 at that time, and he said, come to camp meet with me. I said, I'd love to. I went over there, and them old sawdust shavings was out there. And old Tim got to preach it on the slosh, the wise and the foolish versions. I'm telling you, it wasn't that preaching, it wasn't his word, it wasn't Tim, but God Almighty. That's the kind of glory cloud moved in that place. I was so scared, sister, that I couldn't raise my head. I couldn't hardly look around. I was just had my head down and I was weeping and tears flowing down my head. People running. I wasn't consumed with the runners. I was having my own experience. But Brother Jim Whitted, I'd never seen the like 70-year-old man jump straight up on top of them seats and start screaming, glory, glory. And I thought, how privileged I am to be part of this. You say, why is your heart still in the battle? I've been around his presence. Amen. And when I get discouraged with Baptist, when I get discouraged with wives, kids, the world, money, with my own stinking, rotten flesh, I remember that presence. It makes me want to do what I've done down there in Paris Island, put my feet on them yellow steps, hallelujah, and say, sir, I've come to serve. Whatever you want me to do, sir, I'll do it. I'm so glad to be in his army. Amen. Let's go on in this verse. Not only his presence, he said the ark, but he also said Israel and Judah. Now, Israel and Judah, Israel was that northern kingdom. Sometimes it's called Ephraim in your Bible. It's the same place. And the southern part was always called Judah, even though it encompassed Judah and Benjamin. But it became one as Israel. And here it's saying that both of these places, Judah and Israel, are fighting as one. What a blessing it is when a church is on one voice. When a church has got one direction, amen. What a blessing that is. What a blessing. But they're on one voice and they're fighting together. And he's saying, now that ark, the presence, but this is the people. This is the people. I don't know if you know about me, but my children are very precious to me. I make jokes sometimes about how hard they are, and they are hard at times. But I wouldn't give you nothing for my babies back there. I got a big old baby, 21, and another one, 23. I cannot think about them having to walk into church and say, Daddy has quit preaching. He's gotten his heart out of the battle. I tell you, I want their grand youngins to say, Paul, Paul's a preacher. I want them grand, grand, grand youngins to say, Paul, Paul's still preaching. I want them to be able to follow me as I follow Christ. I can't give up. I can't quit. I got them youngins looking at me. I've got people that has gotten saved under my ministry. I've married several. I've done several funerals. I've done revivals. I've got all those people looking at me. Am I just going to quit? Am I going to give up? Am I going to get my eyes on the big church down the street that's doing this and doing that? I just want to re-up. I want to sign up for some more years. I want to shine my boots, Brother Rocky. I want to go out on the practice range and practice my shooting. I think about my brother, dear friend, J.D. Deaton, pastor in these mountains for years and years. He got that rheumatoid arthritis. It's in his hands. It's in his lungs. He asked me, he said, would you please come and visit me? I love to visit, so I said, yeah, I'll come. I sat down. I didn't know what he wanted. It seemed like he had an agenda. I sat down on the couch, and I said, J.D., we talked a little bit. I sat down, and he said, Anthony, I don't want to talk. I got something for you. I said, all right, J.D. Him covered up with rheumatoid arthritis. Can't get out of the chair. He got his Bible, and he said, I'm going to preach to you. And he sat there in that lazy boy, and he preached me 20 minutes, one of the best messages that you'd ever seen, to an audience of me with his hands curled up, him barely could breathe, and him sitting there with that preaching still in him, wanting to get out for 20 minutes. And I sat there, and I thought, how dare I? I've got a big, healthy body. I'm only 46 years old. How dare. I've got one of the biggest mouths you've ever seen. Don't say nothing, honey, right there. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you what. People can hear me from county to county to county. And I'm going to give up. Why? Because a Baptist stabbed me in the back. Because somebody looked at me a little bit wrong. I'm telling you, I'm not ready to give up. I'm ready to go forward, march on. Hallelujah. Because of the people that's in the battle with me. They're there with me. I sat down with Brother Barton. He took me out to lunch. I tricked him, though. He sat down, and I sat down, and I said, you promise you'll do me a favor? He looked at me. I said, you got a promise? He said, I promise. I said, I'm buying lunch. He said, okay, you got me. And he sat down there. He held my hands. And he loved on me. And he told me everything's going to be okay. Did he have to do that? After he'd done that, what if he hears a month from now, I've given up? You say you're talking a lot about you. I hope God's putting this in your heart about you giving up. And the children looking at you. And those people that you've taught in Sunday school. And the people that rely on you. Thirdly, and I'm done tonight. I told you I wouldn't be long. But he says here, the one that should touch all of us. He said, Ark, Israel and Judah. But then he says, my Lord, Joab. He said, when I've been in battle, the one who's given me directions has been Joab. The one who's told me to march. The one who's told me to retreat. The one who's given me my commands. He is still out there in the battle. How dare I give up and take a rest when he's out there on the battle? I'm telling you, 2019, the darling son of the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is still out on the battlefield seeking to save that which is lost. I still believe that the blood of Christ can save sinners. We don't need a new message. We don't need a new mannerism. We just need to get back in the battle. We had a young preacher out of Oak Ridge, my home church. He said, I preached seven times. He says, that's the number of completion. I guess I'm finished. I said, Lord, you haven't even got a good start yet. And he said, got up and he testified. And he said, this week the devil's been on me. I said, what did you think? You've entered a war. He never said he'd take us out of the valleys. He said, I'll walk through them with you. We get to mumbling and grumbling. Don't you love? Now, can I meddle for a little while? Is that okay? Everybody shake your head like this. Don't you love to go out to them air-conditioned restaurants and sit down and have that nice lady and see your Christian brother there beside you? And he might order sweet tea, and she brings him unsweet tea, and see his reaction. And I think about the missionary over there in Africa eating a ball of rice every day. And I think, brother, is your heart in the battle? That woman's probably a single mother trying to keep up two or three kids. She probably got 10 tables of Baptists screaming at her. Can you not just love on that woman? Even though she might bring you steak instead of chicken, thank God you got something to eat. You say, well, the church is not going like we want. I'm telling you what, we got air conditioning in here. We got padded pews in here. The lights are on in here. And my Lord and my Savior is still working to that. Do you want to give up? Is your heart in the battle? Have you given up on the Lord? Are you so used to your traditions? Have you lied on those? It's time to re-up, Christian. We're going to face more wickedness in this coming year than we did the last. It's going to wax worse and worse. One day as I was thinking on unseen things above, my Jesus came to me and filled me with his love. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. Some say give me silver, some say give me gold. I say give me Jesus, he satisfies my soul. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die in this battlefield with glory in my soul. Stand to your feet. I'm done tonight. I hope that was okay for you. Hope it encouraged you to get back on the battlefield. It's a worthy fight tonight. Miss Sheila, make your way up here. You got a song in your heart. She gets ready to sing. I ask you tonight, where's your heart at? Say, I'm so discouraged. Well, that's human. I'm depressed. That's human. But as Christians, we are to be on the battlefield. We are to be looking for serving our Lord. You say, I'm not a preacher. Young lady, you can still find you a prayer closet. You can still nurture them youngins. There's so many things that you can do. Man, if you've disqualified yourself from the ministry, you can so much go on missions trips, help build. You can teach a Sunday school class. There's so many things. Don't ever think that you've disqualified yourself from the love of God. You can be on the battlefield. We hear about Charles Spurgeon and the great messages that he preached. And nobody knows the names of those 400 men that was up underneath his platform praying for him every night. They just remember Charles Spurgeon. But who's going to be the one like Aaron and her and hold up my hands so that we can win the battle together? As Sheila sings, does anybody need the altar tonight? It's open. Please come.